try again.
Thursday night, and you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, and we're just getting going, getting started. It's just January. Looks like Redfish Chuck is walking into the studio. What's up, Chuck?
What's up?
How you doing, man?
Doing good, buddy.
Dude, that is like a serious... I think the only list that compares to the great sponsors and providers of door prizes for the upcoming boondoggle is like Santa Claus's list of children. I mean, that is just an incredible list.
Yeah, it's when I started to piece it together, I was like, and here's another one, and here's another one.
I know, right?
It's pretty awesome, man. The amount of support that I've seen so far this year leading up to this boondoggle has been nothing short of extraordinary. Everybody who's donated is, you know, what can you say? I got nothing else to say about it. Whatever, it's awesome.
We say thank you to them. That's what we do, and we hope that most of them are going to be able to at least have a rep or themselves out at the boondoggle to fish with us, so we can, you know, buy them an adult beverage or something later in the evening.
Yeah, I know there's quite a few of them that are planning on coming down, so, or coming over or up or whatever the case may be, so and the prizes are starting to roll into the Levi household, so it's time to start moving them over to the official boondoggle storage facility.
Yeah, this is the official boondoggle storage facility. We're going to have to rent a warehouse next time, I guess.
Yeah, U-Haul truck or something.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. Well, it's you're doing an awesome job, man, and it's really amazing. And I think it's a great opportunity, you know. Folks get to meet the reps. We get to fish with folks, you know. It'll be a great time, man. If folks have not been to a boondoggle, it's certainly something that you want to go out and show up for. I saw the article today from Daryl Bars. He got us into, what was that one? You just posted it today, man. The fishing.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and we made it on the cover there. We made it up for Gaff magazine. I saw that article too. So we're awesome, man.
Florida Sportsman.
I haven't seen Florida Sportsman yet. We're in there.
It's just a little snippet in one of the sections about what's to come or something like that. But
cool.
Yeah, Florida Sportsman stepped up. That's one of the individuals I forgot to put on the list of sponsors. So there's another one, Florida Sportsman. They're gonna donate a few items to us as well.
Awesome. I think we have been joined by Haywood. Is that Haywood there?
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, welcome back. How are you feeling, man? I saw you had a little lapse.
Yep. I'm still fighting it.
Yeah? Did you get the flu, or is it the same old thing?
Yeah, it's whatever. Yeah, whatever was going around, the upper respiratory infection, flu. I mean, I was in the ER with my wife for like 2 hours, and the next morning I woke up and I just felt like a truck hit me. So,
Yeah, you go to those. Is your wife okay?
Oh, yeah, she slipped.
Oh.
And we thought she broke her toe, and it was just dislocated. And, yeah, I was going to try to set it, and she's like, no, don't touch me.
You don't do that to your wife. You just do it to your clones, man. Set your wife's toe, man.
I told her, I said, you just got to reach down there and yank that thing out. Just yank it straight. All right.
And then you got sick from being in the hospital where all the sick people are.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, man, around here, you don't go to the hospital without putting a mask on. I mean, even if you're sick.
Yeah, I from now on, if I have to go, that's what I'm doing. I'm wearing one because, I mean, it just, you know, literally, I went to bed Saturday night. I felt great. Woke up Sunday morning, and I thought a truck had run right through the bedroom or something because I felt like death warmed over.
Wow.
So.
Looks like we got some folks joining in the chat room, and Bad Backcast is in there. Rob's in there. He said he's just getting over the flu. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's going around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're getting all kinds of reports where I work at, so. Folks are sick, calling in. And we're supposed to be the ones reporting.
Fishing's good right now. I mean, this weather that we're having, the water's warming up, and I can't get out on the water. So
I don't think we're going to have too bad of a winter this year, except unless you're like in the Midwest or in the Northeast. But
I read something yesterday that the third week. In January, there's they're expecting a massive cold front to push down from Canada, and it's gonna be really frigid, and it's gonna go pretty far south. So I don't know if it's gonna affect us much, but I mean, there's always a possibility.
We don't need those Canadians sending that stuff down here.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right. So. Say hi to the rest of the folks in the chat room there. There's Cap Max crew. Don't know if I've seen you in there. Welcome aboard. Chris Johnson out of Pensacola, the fishing chef, has joined us. He says his arm is ready to go. For those of you who weren't with us at in the Virginia Beach boondoggle, he got bit by a spider, and boy, it gave him a bad scare there. But he says he's up and 100% and got his sight, got his tent today, and he's going to be at the boondoggle and join us, so that's awesome. And I see Greg Crisp in there, so I'm sure he's ready to get out of some cold weather up there. And Matt Trucks out of New Jersey, welcome aboard. So it's I'm ready to go fishing, man. I'm ready. I see people catching fish. Good grief. The other Steve Gibson down there in south of you, Bill, man, he put up some fish on Facebook the other day that were just some awesome sized snook, man. He called the midget.
I don't want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk about that?
Nope.
Those are some good looking fish. So
yeah, they're going off right now.
Yeah.
You know where to go, and that's impressive to see because we need those big snook like that.
And I'm sure Steve took good care of them and got them back in the water too. So.
Oh yeah. I know his fishing buddy that day was a real good friend of mine, and we fished together. And yeah, they take good care of them. So.
Yeah, and that I mean, I want to know what a 40-inch snook fights like. I mean, I my biggest has been like 32, 34 inches, but. I mean, his small one that day, what he posted up was like 39.5 inches, is when he was calling him.
Yeah, those big ones don't jump a lot, you know, like the little ones do. You just get a lot of head shaking.
Yeah.
They can go through a leader really quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those gill plates and stuff, they'll wear you out. So, but, What's the fishing look like over on your side of the world there, Chuck?
It's been good for those that decide to fish the right side of the bank when the wind blows. had a couple of guys go out today, and they didn't have very much success, but they launched on the west side of the no motor zone, and the wind was blowing straight out of the east, and so it was like pushing right into their face and made conditions a little tough to see anything, but we caught a couple fish, I think, but nothing to get too excited about. However, over in the Mosquito Lagoon, it's been on fire. There's been a lot of a whole lot of tailing fish, and the groups of fish, I wouldn't say big schools, but definitely, you know, small pods of fish, anywhere from two or three in a little group to, you know, 15 or 20, and it's an all-day affair, so it's getting good, man. The fish are just, I think, a little confused because we had the cold weather, and now we're in the 80s, and it's like, you know, they've definitely changed their feeding habits. The last time I went, we were finding fish, I mean, like late afternoon, 2 o'clock, that were still pushing around on the flats and tailing and stuff. So the transition from finfish to crustaceans has started, but, you know, now with this water warming up again, it's got them, I think, a little bit messed up. But, you know, like I say, I mean, I got a lot of really good reports from my buddies who are boat captains who've been just fishing, just pounding them just left and right over in the lagoon and up in the Banana River, just to the south of the motor zone on the other side of 528, State Road 528 there. So, yeah, pretty solid. I mean, not seeing a whole lot of snook. You know, every now and again you find a snooklet laying around somewhere and you just happen to come up on them, but most of the fish have been slot reds, and the trout bite's still been pretty spectacular, big fish. So, you know, it's good. It's only going to get better.
That's what we want to hear, man. We're all going to be down there. I think we're over 170 now on the guest list. It's going to be pretty interesting. How far is it from Cars up to the lagoon? What is that, about 35, 40 minute haul?
About 30 minutes.
Yeah. So
it takes me about 20 minutes to get from my house to Cars Park. And it would be another 10 minutes or so, 10 to 15 minutes to get from my house to the lagoon. So, yeah, about 30 minutes or so, 30, 35 minutes.
Yeah, so for folks that are listening and they're not familiar with the area, I mean, the no motor zone is on the south side of the island, and the lagoon is up on the north side of it. And so it's very easily accessible from both places. We're going to be staying at Cars. I think the Virginia crew that's going to be out there at the KAO or KOA campground, they're going to be kind of in the middle. They're just going to have a little haul to both places, but both great places, both great time of year. I mean,
and then also too, literally right down the street from Cars Park is the Indian River. So, you know, we'll be in the Banana River fishing in the no motor zone right across the main road of State Road 3. There's a park down there called Manatee Cove. It's a little boat ramp. It's got a little like playground and stuff there. But you can launch there and be, I mean, on the Indian River on the east bank, which is the preferred bank anyway, within a matter of just a few minutes. So, and then a short drive from Cars Park, you're at the port. You can fish either in the river side of the port or actually in the port. I mean, there's a lot of options, much like what we had in Virginia Beach, you know, where
right.
guys would drive to Lynn Haven or Rudy or whatever. We're going to have quite a selection of places to fish. So,
plenty of places to fish. So, let me say hi to Jim. There he is. Hey, Jim, how are you tonight, man?
Good, brother. How's it going?
All right, man. Did you get a chance to do any fishing lately?
No, this weekend I went over to the Bass Pro and spent a Christmas certificate, which was good, a Christmas gift card.
So you're thinking about fishing.
Yeah, my next trip is going to be the Boondoggle at Cars. I'm getting all my chores done, getting all my deposits in the emotional bank account.
That's
getting
right.
ready for Cars, brother.
Awesome. Well, we'll let you know what time we're leaving out of here. We'll just all convoy on down. So.
Yeah, we actually are. I think we're going to cut out Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
And drive down to Folkestone, spend the night overnight at Folkestone, then be down in the Cocoa area Thursday morning. I think we're going to get there a day before you all.
Yeah, you will if you're going to leave on Wednesday, because I can't get the clone out too soon, because 2 weeks later when we go down for the tournament, I'm going to have to take him out of a day of school too. So that,
yeah.
I don't want to give him the wrong idea, you know, that, like, fishing is more important than school, but, you know, just trying to be the good parent here. Got to be an adult sometime.
I understand.
We got another caller here. 845, you're on the air.
Yeah, it's hard to do the theme music without the caller ID. I apologize.
Yeah, I know, man. Okay, hang on. Let's do it again. All right, ready?
Much
all right,
better.
There it is. Mr. Becker joins us on the air live.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
There you are. Long-time lurker. So, my friend, have you been fishing lately?
Have I been fishing lately? I have not been out. I didn't get out last weekend. Was out the weekend before for a little bit.
A sad lot we all are.
Yeah, well, the weather didn't really cooperate with what we wanted to do last weekend. So, but
yeah.
We're... going to be out this Saturday and stuff warmed up, get the kayak warmed up, and then Sunday we'll be out for the Tampa Bay Frogman swim. So that looking forward to that.
That's right, you are. And why don't you go ahead and let us know? Tell us what you're doing here with the I forget her name now. You're going to be supporting. Go.
Yeah, I didn't mean to sidetrack the conversation. I just
no.
Online. I figured I'd call in. The Tampa Bay Frogman Swim is a fundraiser done in support of the Navy SEAL Foundation and other Special Warrior support charities for the families of Spec War operators lost in combat and another you know, training exercises, stuff like that, to help support their families and support them if they need it when they defeat and in their recovery. This is the third year the swim's been run. It started out as a bunch of guys getting together to raise some money for a SEAL that was lost both his legs in an IED explosion. And the next year, it raised a significant amount of money. I got to participate the second year. By showing up late to the tournament and say, hi, I'm here to help, or to the swim, rather, and saying, hi, I'm here to help, last year I got teamed up with Becca Mann. Remember that name, Becca Mann, because it might not mean a whole lot here right now, but in a couple of years you're going to see Becca Mann on Olympic swimming podiums. She is 14 years old now, or she'll be 14 or 15 now. She is tearing up the long distance and open water swimming world, and she just missed the Olympics this year by a hair, which I think was probably good for her, but... She's really doing well. She'll be swimming in this event. I'll be her kayak supporter, which means that I'll be paddling along and probably trying to keep up. But just in case anything does go wrong, it's actually a 3.1 mile, 5 kilometer swim across a good portion of Tampa Bay. I think they're up to 150 swimmers was the last count I knew of, but that could be completely off. It is a fundraiser. If anybody wants to contribute to the cause, you can go to my Facebook page and look. I've linked to Becca's swimmers I Am Athlete fundraising page for the event. But I know a bunch of guys, kayakers from the Tampa Bay area, are going to be out there from some of the local groups. It's a good cause, a good day. The first year, the weather was in the 30s when they launched from the beach. Last year, it was in the 60s, I think. It wasn't real chilly, but it was wasn't warm. This year, the weather's supposed to be up in the 80s, and the warmer temperatures, water temperatures, will be a little bit higher. So it should be a little bit more comfortable swim for folks. But 5K is still a long way to go in the cold, open water. So folks that are out there know what they're doing, and there'll be a whole bunch of kayaks out there to support them in case they need it.
Awesome. And I know Bill has supported that before, too. So are you going to be out there, Bill?
Bill's
on.
Yeah. Go on? Okay.
I think I'm going to be there. I didn't sign up this year because I wasn't sure if I was going to be strong enough to go. So, you know, I wasn't on the list today when it came out, but I will probably just go and show up and say, hey, I'm here, and they'll take me. And if not, I'll just go out and shoot pictures, because that's, I really want to shoot, you know, they don't have anybody on the water really shooting pictures, and it's kind of hard to do both when you're an escort. You can't keep watch on your guy and everybody else around you if you're shooting pictures and paddling, so it's kind of hard to do both. So we'll see. I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah, it's I know that would be, I'd like to see some pictures of it, but I know in the past from talking to you, both of you, that, you know, well, listening to Becker's story from last year, I think when you thought you had this little girl that was going to swim with you, and then you had, and you're trying to keep up with her and stuff, you know, it's like.
Yeah, that was quite a trip.
Yeah, you're not going to put your paddle down to pick up your camera and take pictures when you're trying to keep up with them. So, and I had some buds that were in buds in the SEAL teams, and those dudes can swim. So it's a great cause, and I hope the weather holds out and it looks good for y'all next weekend. That'll be awesome. See, you can do
a last.
What?
Sorry, you were just talking about speed. Last year, I think it was the top seven, or
I lost you. Hello? Anybody else? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Chip.
Okay,
I hear you,
just,
Chip.
We lost Becker. He was coming in a little rough there at the last, and then we lost him. All right, well, when he comes back, we'll let him finish his story. Are you there yet? Yeah. Okay. But anyways, so yeah, it was kind of an interesting story. When he comes back on, we'll let him finish the story. But either his phone died, or but he still looks, he's still showing up on the. Hey, let me refresh my page here. Still showing him online, but anyways, so that there he goes. He just dropped off. He'll call back in a second. So. But teachers. All right. So, what from the guys that are fishing right now? I mean, what are they hitting on? I mean, are they, Chuck? You mentioned they're moving into the crustacean mode. So, are the bait schools gone now? Are they just got to fish in the water? Are they hitting top waters? What are you seeing over there? What are you hearing from the guys?
Yeah, it's been mainly a soft plastic bite. Some guys are picking up some fish on top waters, but the typical shad tails, smaller jerk baits, shrimp patterns have all been working really well. Guys are crushing fish right now on fly too, but you know, it's, the water's been really clean, especially in the lagoon. It's been crystal clear, and like it's 8 foot, you can see the bottom, and you know, it's just that time of year, man. You got to slow down a little bit and make proper casts if you're looking at fish, or if you're, you know, if you think you're near fish. You know, blind casting works well. I mean, I told the story on the last show that my buddy Chris was paddling next to me, and I'm just paddling along. He's fishing. I'm just having a conversation with him, and, you know, I didn't see anything. I thought I saw movement, but I wasn't real sure, and I just kind of threw a blind cast over to towards him and pulled a nice, fat 27-inch fish right off the side of his kayak. And so, you know, it's good, man. They're aggressive, I'll tell you that much. The fish here especially, I don't know why that is, why they're so aggressive, but, man, when they hit these baits, they're crushing them. I mean, I'm going to be honest, I can't stand to run a weedless hook, because I feel like I miss too many fish with a weedless hook as opposed to a jig head. But with the water cooling down, it did, so quick, we lost a lot of grass. In the lagoon, not to say the bottom is bare, but all of the half-dead grass that was in there is now floating. So it makes it a little tough to throw the jig head. But, yeah, standard colors. You know, everyone's got their personal preferences and favorites, but whatever works for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever your confidence bait is.
Cool. We'll get back to you in just a second because I know
yep.
Jim's probably going to want to ask you what kind of flies are you using because I know he's a buggy whip kind of guy. But Becker just came back on. Finish your story.
No, that was it. That was, I don't know where you left off with or where I got disconnected. But where,
you went like,
can you hear me now?
It was kind of funny.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. And then
no, I,
you just
no,
said
it was
funny
it was,
and then
was
that
just,
was it. You were gone.
Well, it was funny, and last year, like you were saying, you know, walking up and meeting this, getting introduced to this skinny little 14-year-old girl and her mom, and she tells me, yeah, well, I've got, you know, I've swum open water a couple times, and, you know, we kind of chat for a few minutes, and she walks away, and I'm thinking, okay, am I going to just use half my paddle? Am I going to have my drift shoot out? You know, am I going to drag one leg in the water? And then one of the race organizers walks over and says, you got a fast boat? I said, well, fast enough. He said, why? He said, yeah, you're going to need it. And he was right.
Yeah, it was a good thing you got that boat. So, but anyways, yeah, so let me go back to Chuck. Chuck, Jim, what flies are you getting ready for in your package for the boondoggle, man?
I've got some seducers. I've got a couple different clousers, some purple black, and then some chartreuse over white. And if the water's muddy, I'll have a few solid chartreuse with me. Then I've got some seducers and tan. You can call them hackle flies, call them seducers. Some of them weighted, some of them not weighted. And then I've been tying some crab flies. And I'm going to bring, it looks like Titusville is having a kind of mild winter. I've got some little white deceivers I tied and some more little seducers I tied to look for some ditch tarpon when I'm there. That's what I got right now. And then whatever Chuck tells me I need to bring.
Chuck?
Yo.
What do you think?
Yeah, that'll work. the ditch tarpon in Titusville aren't going to probably be much of a opportunity. You're going to have a better chance of getting them literally right outside the campground and down the street just a little ways. I got a little secret spot to... I think you have already been there once. But there's a couple of spots that are really, really productive, even in the wintertime, for little ditch tarpon. And, but I was just out there at the refuge driving around for like an hour and a half, and I didn't see the first one rolling or splashing or nothing. So, that's not uncommon. Plus, it's duck season here right now, and most of the ditches are run by the guys with the duck boats, so those fish just tend to disappear.
Right.
But my favorite thing to throw for those little ditch tarpon, and if you want to sit down at the bench and tie a couple of these things up, it may behoove you. Most of the ditch tarpon here feed on small mosquito fish, and there's a couple of them that are here that also... or a couple of little minnows that are kind of speckled. My absolute favorite ditch tarpon fly is it's basically a smaller version of a tarpon snake. I tie it on a number 4 mosquito hook from owner, and and I tie it with some black hackle, real small pieces of black hackle, like, you know, real small, a little bit of a tail with some black marabou. And then I'll tie in like 2 or 3 strands on either side of copper flash and wrap the nose of it with red thread and call it good. I mean, it's the easiest. I can knock out 100 of those things in you know, a matter of a half hour or so. I mean, they're really easy to tie, but, they absolutely kill it. I mean, they crush it. I think it's because it's such a small body profile. I mean, the fly itself is maybe an inch and a half long, but that's what they're eating in those ditches. So, you know, it works real well. As far as reds and black drum and all that stuff, the purple and black clousers work real well for the black drum. and the redfish will eat just about anything you put in front of them. I like some more shrimp patterns and crab patterns this time of year. You know, you can throw some merkins if you want to or anything like that. I really, really like throwing tarpon toads that I tie a little bit smaller than you would a normal tarpon toad in camel color. And I don't use, I mean, I'm not going to make this a fly tying show, but I don't use the cross tie to do the body of the head of the tarpon toad. I use streamer brush. And
okay.
I use the camel streamer brush and just palmer that around the hook itself, and then tie in as your tail a good, really, really fluffy section of marabou, camel marabou as well, and use that same copper flash you use on the tarpon snake. Just a few pieces of that, bead chain eyes, call it good, and it's got like this perfect presentation for the redfish, especially when they're in the grass, because it'll kind of flutter down in front of them as opposed to drop real fast or whatever. And then when you really need to strip it, that tail really undulates a lot in the water. It's got a lot of life, so that's a great fly to throw too. But I'll have some extras with me, I'm sure. I don't have my fly tying stuff handy at the moment. It's in storage, but I've got quite a few that I tied up before I put my stuff away. So we'll get you squared away. Hopefully we'll get on some fish that way. I'll have to bug you up.
Yeah. I got three questions before I lose you. First question on that little tarpon snake you're tying, when you palmer the black hackle, are you putting any chanel or just the hackle itself palmering around that little mosquito hook?
Just the hackle itself. And what I'll do,
okay.
I'll do just a little bit of that, right, just a few turns, and then I lay two of them alongside the hook to make almost like a tail. To where they're bending out almost like you would in a crab pattern or a shrimp pattern, and tie that in after you tie in your marabou tail. You know, you do that
on
first.
On the outside of the marabou. Yeah.
Right.
On the merkins, are you using tan, brown and tan, olive and blue? What color merkins are we going to use this time of the year?
Same thing. The tans are fine. Greens are good. The traditional blue crab, the tan and blues are fine too. I mean, like I say, if you can place it in front of them, like well out in front of them, and strip it past them as they're coming to it or get their attention with it, they'll eat it. The problem with our fish here, unlike in other areas of the state and over, this has been fly talk, over in like Louisiana, is the water's so clean and the fish are so heavily pressured that with a fly, if you thump them in the head, they're gone. If you thump it really close to them, they're gone. So, you know, I've always had the most success spotting a fish and then positioning myself in the kayak or jumping out and waiting, whatever, and leading them quite a bit, and then really strip that thing hard and make it really move. You can add a couple of rattles into it and stuff like that too. So, but it's a lot of fun, man. I mean, there's days down here in February where, you know, you might see 15, 20 fish and have good cast at all of them and might only pull one out of all those. Or there's days where you just can't do anything wrong with the buggy whip. So you'll have fun. There'll be plenty to catch.
All right. Cool. Bill, you don't use a buggy whip?
Yeah, I have.
Bill has one old spinning rod. That's all he uses.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the fly thing. You know. Just
It's tough because, you know, with the fly, it's almost like you really need to you got to be sight fishing them, because just blind casting and stuff is not. It's tough.
And that's what I prefer to do. I prefer to sight cast, but you got to. You really got to practice a lot. At least I do. I've got to practice it a lot. And I just, you know, I don't have the time, so.
Yeah, the last time when we were, it'll be two Februaries ago when we first went down to Florida, and we met with Chuck and Dee there on a Saturday. And no, it was it Sunday or Saturday, but we hit the lagoon, and we were catching fish, you know, and I thought, oh, it's a great time to break out the fly rod, and I had it with me. Chuck was over there. He's catching reds, but I hadn't been in practice with it. I had just brought it along, give it a shot. I made, like, 3 or 4 whips with it, and then, screw it, I'm going back to the spinning rod, catch fish.
Yeah.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, yeah, it's fun. I mean, there ain't nothing more fun than watching them big old black drum around Cedar Key and stuff, and casting after those bass. Those guys would just, but they'll irritate the crap out of you, not taking any baits.
I think my next trip, when I go up there, I'm going to take the 9-weight and try to get one on fly, because, I mean, you can, you know, you've seen them. They just sit in one spot all day. You know, you can get on them and make several casts, so.
Yeah.
I think that'd be kind of fun to try to get one to eat on the fly.
Oh, man. Even this, like that small one you caught that last time we were there, that would be a riot on a 9-weight.
Yeah.
So, but. More to come. More to come. We're only like 35 days in a wake-up now before the boondoggle. Let me play the little thing here. I'm going to play the old one. I like it.
Boondoggle!
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle.
Boondoggle?
What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And that was done by Steve Chapman, our buddy over at Fish for Florida Radio, which, I don't know, Chuck, have you heard from them? Are they planning on being there?
I'm not sure what Steve's doing. He may come over for one of the days. But I know Mike's planning on being there at least a couple days to hang out with us, so it should be good. You know, we were talking about it quite a bit last weekend in the studio, and he, you know, he indicated that they plan on making an appearance, but I don't know how long they're going to be out there. I know he's not camping, so
yeah.
But you got to remember, we got the Captain Mike Ortego Tackle Webs Big Fish Bounty. So, you know,
right.
You guys want to get in on that and make sure you have a Tackle Webs bag on your kayak and you're automatically entered into winning. And I think he's doing some kind of a prize. Not real sure, but it'll be a good prize one way or the other.
That'd be cool. Yeah, those guys are great and a lot of fun listening to them if you're listening to the podcast. You got nothing to do on Saturday morning from 6 to 9. You can look them up, fishinfloridaradio.com, iHeartRadio, they're on. And it's Chuck's been on the show a couple of times. I know I've called in a couple of times. They're always a great bunch of guys, Boudreaux, Cat Mortigo, and Steve Chapman. So listen, check them out sometime. And let's see, what do we got?
They came through for our raffle this time, or our door prizes this time as well. I know Steve's rummaging up a whole bunch of stuff from their sponsors and stuff like that to hook us up. So good people.
Yeah, and they're gonna be. Steve said I told him to send us some stickers for our boats for the adventure.
World Championship.
Yeah, the Adventure Fishing World Championship. But I don't want to say native tournament because, that you know, a lot of folks have asked several times. I've seen it that, you know, you got to have a native to fish in it. No, it's any boat. So any manufacturer, it's just native is sponsoring the tournament down there in Everglades City. But I told Steve that we'd wear some stickers on our boats for Fish and Florida Radio. So, That's going to be fun, too. That's 2 weeks after the Boondoggle. We'll be, we've got several teams from Kayak Fishing Radio. Myself and the Clone will be fishing as one team. We got Team Lost in the Woods. It'll be Redfish Chuck and Peppy there. No, I'm
Lost
just
in the Woods.
But, and then the Double L crew, which I'm going to give them a shout-out because I saw a thing flash up on the wall of our Kayak Fishing Radio app that the Double L crew is listening in on the app tonight. So shout-out to them and anybody else. I do watch the wall during the show, so if folks are listening on the app, they can post up there. Let's see. Just checking the chat room there for a quick sec. See what was going on, but so yeah, we've got a busy February, the beginning of March, and then you know I'm looking. I was kind of doing some messaging back and forth to Becker there. I was like thinking, man, I might get away a weekend here in January, but I don't think I can. It's a little tight now between now and the Boondoggle, but April is coming up. And we might have a little mini doggle somewhere. What time does it start getting good up there around Cedar Key and Steinhatchee, Bill?
Tax day.
Tax day, that's right. That's right. I knew there was something about April.
Tax camp.
Tax camp, that's right. Oh. Unfortunately, though, it's the first week in April that the kids have spring break, so... Like I said, I'm trying to be an adult about it, man. Make sure the Clone stays in school.
Yeah, it'll probably be all right the first week. You know, if the weather stays warm like
yeah.
it has been.
Yeah, it should be good.
It won't be a bad weekend.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep that on the eye there. So, but, yeah, and... So Kayaks by Bow is going to have some kayaks for rent. In fact, I sent a couple of folks the information. Got contacted by a buddy of mine up in Virginia, wanted to know who would have kayaks for rent. And Chuck, I saw you just put that in the chat room there that Kayaks by Bow will have some ready. Are they going to take like reservations or something? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. If you need a kayak for the Boondoggle, you need to call because we're running out. So
okay.
we've got a fleet of. Native redfish 12s that we use as our typical rental kayaks. I think we have 9 or 10 of those, and then we've got, a whole slew of our demo boats. Excuse me, God, it'd be great if I could speak today, but those that'll be out there, I'm sure we'll be able to find a kayak for you to get into if all the rentals are gone and whatever else. So. There's going to be a lot of extras. I'll have a couple of mine there, and yeah, we'll make it work.
Okay. And Bill just left us. I hope things are all right. But okay, take care, Bill. Check you later. Yeah, a buddy of mine called and asked if that was going to happen. So that's cool. We'll let folks know, but they do need to call, right?
Yeah, call Kayaks by Bow, and darn it, if I don't have the freaking number right in front of me, I had a card. I think one of my kids must have chewed it up or something like that. But I got it on the phone. But anyway, I'll post the phone number up before we're done with the show.
Okay, yeah, we'll post something up there on the Boondoggle page so folks can see it, and then because I know there's a couple of folks that are planning on flying in, like my buddy there. And they're kind of hoping that we'll have a campsite and stuff, so I can just if they're staying at hotels. I know Jim Dolan from Heroes on the Water is planning on flying in. So do we have like a point of contact for a hotel or something? I know that he was asking. I know Jim Dolan was asking.
I put it out there that I needed. A decent number of people to get anything done as far as some sort of a group rate or whatever.
Right.
And I think we only have like two or three takers.
Right.
None of the hotels are going to do anything for us with
those low numbers. But if you just look, if I were flying in and I was going to try and stay somewhere near the venue, I would stay out by the port, Port Canaveral, that is. There's like four or five hotels that are literally right there next to the port, and at that point you're less than a 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive to Cars Park. So I think there's a Radisson there. There's a Country Suites or something like that. There's a bunch of different ones right there. And then further into Cocoa Beach, you've got Cocoa Beach Hilton, Doubletree. There's a bunch of really nice hotels in there, too. So you got options. But real quick, that number for Kayaks Webo, if anybody needs it, is 321-474-9365.
Okay.
So... there you go.
Now, I was just wondering if there was like a Kayak Fishing Radio favorite that we would point someone to. I know we didn't have enough response to get a special deal with a hotel, but
yeah, I don't really favor one or the other. I think that they're all nice, and the Radisson, as the Fishing Chef just said, the Radisson's pretty cool. I actually had a couple of my high school proms at the Radisson, but yeah, the Radisson's pretty cool. And the nice thing about being out there, too, is after the festivities are done and over with at Cars Park for the evening, if that happens, then you can head back over towards the port and, slide into the port and go to some of the restaurants and night spots there and enjoy yourself there, because it's a lot of fun. I mean, my favorite restaurant in the entire state, in the entire county of Brevard, is this Grills, and it's located out there at Port Canaveral. So.
Cool. All right.
Yep.
All right, Will. We're running in through the top of the hour here, so we'll take it around the horn one time. Bill's already taken off. I know him and Mr. Becker, you guys are planning on doing the Frogman support this weekend.
Yep, we'll be doing that on Sunday, and Robert and I are probably going to get out Saturday morning. I got a paddle I got to test out before I take it out and try and do the Frogman, so we'll get out Saturday morning for a little bit, see if we can scare up a few fish.
Scare them up, man. A new paddle, huh?
Yeah, I got a Bending Branches Navigator to test fly and
it's kind of the
rod.
Part wood composite one, right?
Yeah, T700 carbon fiber shaft and black willow blades. It is a thing of beauty for the eye to behold.
I've seen one. I think our buddy Juan Verroot there in Pennsylvania uses one like it, and they are a pretty paddle. So we'll look forward to seeing, and I bet that's going to show up on yakangler.com as a review. Is that correct?
I think that would be a safe bet, yes, sir.
All right. So our friends over at yakangler.com, I saw Adam in there earlier in the chat room. He might still be in there, but stand up, Adam. All right, so cool. A little fish in the morning. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week, see how it went. And
absolutely.
Hopefully Bill had got some photos of the swim. That'll be cool to see.
Very good.
All right, man. And Jim, are you planning on doing any fishing this weekend, or are you still working on building up your free time for the boondoggle?
Free time for the boondoggle.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game right now. And then I got to start getting ready for one of the Christmas presents the wife gave me, a weekend in the Keys. I got to start getting ready for that.
Dude, that means like that's way too much fun, man.
Yeah, I know. So I got to do some extra work, extra chores. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's cool. And Chuck, are you going to be out on the water? Are you going to be over hanging out at Kayaks by Bo?
I'll be at Kayaks by Bo tomorrow, and then Saturday I plan on hitting the water possibly with the majority of the Levi clan, leaving the Logan home, obviously. He's still too young to go, but maybe getting Trey's new kayak wet for the first time, and then try and get Jess on some redfish. And then Saturday night we have our Space Coast Kayak Angler group meeting, our first one there at Kayaks by Bo. So I'm looking forward to that, and then... following Saturday, if anybody is listening in the Florida area and wants to try and paddle some kayaks, we're having a big demo day. on the other side of Max Brewer Causeway, which is the road that would lead you over to the lagoon. We'll have everybody represented that we carry in the store: Diablo, Native, Wilderness, Jackson, Hobie, New Canoe, Ocean, and we'll have some Benny Branches paddles out there as well for people to try. So that'd be good.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So get that kayak wet there and get it slimed for that youngster.
Plan on it, brother.
All right. So thanks, everybody, in the chat room for showing up. Friends down in Florida there. I see Rob, the Bad Backcast. He says his voice is trash because he's been fighting the flu. CatMex crew and Hook and Paddle there. First time I've seen you guys on board. Welcome aboard Kayak Fishing Radio. We hope you tune in more often. Monday through Thursday, 8 o'clock, four different venues. Chuck kicks it off on Mondays. I end the week on Thursdays, and we leave people alone so they can fish on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or maybe a boondoggle. Fishing Chef, good to see you back in there, man. Greg Crisp up there. And Tommy Head Jigs, he is he's putting on an ice fishing tournament up in Tommy, where is it at, man? Send me a quick thing. It goes for the American Liver Foundation. And they'll be doing that actually during the time that we'll be doing the boondoggle. So we'll catch him on the next boondoggle. But if you're into ice fishing and you want to support it, it's up in New York. So thanks, Tommy. And Tommy has sent a package along for I know Chuck has received that. And we will be using some of the Tommy's jig heads down at the boondoggle. So
hey.
There it is, Matt Trucks.
Hey.
Yeah.
Real quick, I almost forgot the most important thing that I've got going on for my show, probably for the rest of the year. We're battling right now to try and keep a rocket launch station from being built on the other side of Hollover Canal up in the wildlife refuge.
Right.
They want to come in and do this privatized launching garbage. And I have one part of the Anglers for Conservation who's going to be on my show, Mr. Rodney Smith. And for those of you that don't know Rodney Smith, you probably have Coastal Angler magazines wherever you live. It's kind of a big thing, or they also call them just, I think, Angler magazines or whatever, that the freebies you can go pick up at your tackle shops. Rodney Smith started Coastal Angler magazine here on the Space Coast years back, and the guy is like heavy, heavy, heavy into conservation and keeping everything on the up and up, so it'll be a good show. Looking forward to that, but we definitely need everybody's support to try and keep that from happening, because that will destroy pretty much everything that's up there as far as the wildlife refuge is concerned. So that's it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Awesome. So Monday night, tune it in. Monday night kickoff with Redfish Chuck. The football thing is Saturday and Sunday. So and Chuck usually finishes up before football comes on anyway. So. All right. Awesome. Well, it's been a good one. Thanks for joining us, guys. Mr. Becker, Jim, Chuck. We'll see you guys next time. I'm out of here. I'm a dot. Take a kid fishing. And 35 and a wake up. We'll be at the boondoggle. See you next time, guys. Good night.
Later, Chip.
Night, buddy. Tight lines. We'll be right back.